Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. You will recall that I promised that we would have representatives from the organization called the City Services Coalition come on several times before early voting starts on September 27th. And the reason that I agreed to do so is I read through their 200-plus page report, and there was so many things that, in my humble opinion, I thought that they got right as it relates to the identification of a roadmap to improve upon the delivery of city services. And then I thought it was important for the voting public, the listening audience, to hear what they had to say about so many of these topics and to take this and hopefully query these candidates, whether they be the council members or the candidates for mayor, on this very subject matter to see where they actually stand. Because I really do believe we're at a defining moment. Now, they divided it their report up into five critical areas: crime and public safety, streets and infrastructure, drainage and water management, trash pickup and clean public spaces, and licensing and permitting. And they have a number of themes that are cross-cutting, that cut across all of these subject matters. And one of them that we're going to talk about first today is civil service commission and the role that they play. We're joined by Sharonda Williams, Vice President, General Counsel, and Director of Government Affairs, and Peter Reichert, Policy Advisor to the City Services Coalition. And Press Kabakoff is here with us as well. He's the Project Director for the New Orleans City Services Coalition. First, let me say welcome, and let's get this started. Let's jump in right away. And I think, Peter, we're going to start with you. You actually worked at the city at one point in time?
I worked for the Bureau of Governmental
Research. For BGR, yeah, that's right. And you did some work in this regard.
Yeah, both in Louisiana and out of state as well. And
pull your mic a little closer
sure,
to you.
Sorry. So, yeah, I think, you know, obviously the City Services Coalition, part of the background here is that one thing that all New Orleanians can agree on is that they're dissatisfied with the level of city services. So looking at the employee base of the people that are delivering those services is an important component of this whole process. I think it's important for people to understand that the way government hires people, the way they manage their personnel systems is, in a lot of cases, looking around the country, not just here, it's a relic of a past time. And if you're a young person coming into the workforce nowadays, you look at government, it comes off as this very niche kind of employer. It's, you know, you've got to be a person who has a high tolerance for a rule-bound bureaucratic type process, both to get the job and once you're in the job. Are you willing to wait weeks or months for the hiring process to come together? Are you willing to trade higher pay for a larger retirement package that could take years to vest? Are you okay with outperforming colleagues who aren't pulling their weight because maybe the managers are afraid that they'll be unable to get rid of high-performing employees? And And so, you know, and that's a matter of not just hiring good employees, but also making sure that your managers know what they're doing as well.
Yeah. A lot of things have changed over the years. I mean, I know it was vogue at one time, 7-year vesting. That moved to 10. It moved to 12. In the sheriff's pension and relief fund now, it's 20 years. So that's kind of it's changed, and that's a huge change for the dynamics of civil service. Sheriffs, everybody was at will. You hardly in the last 40 years had a situation where a sheriff was elected, walked in and terminated everybody and started afresh, started anew. It doesn't really work that way any longer, nor would the public tolerate it. I think at one point they might have had it. They might have tolerated some of that, but not any longer. So Sharonda Williams, Vice President, General Counsel, Director of Government Affairs, you've kind of taken this on and looked at this, and there's a number of different ways that y'all think it can be remedied, and a number of options here, and even a hybrid of the existing system and bringing in some new thoughts.
That's correct. Thank you again for having us and putting attention on these issues as we move toward elections. But as you said, there were some cross-cutting themes in our five pillars that we looked at. A number of those concerns were things like hiring of qualified people to run projects and do project management, for instance, for DPW or Sewage and Water Board, existing vacancies in important departments where city services need to be done quickly. And so because of those issues being raised a number of times throughout the process, we decided we'd want to look at civil service as well in addition to the five pillars. And what we came up with is a recommended hybrid model, which means that civil service would be maintained in terms of disciplinary actions and terminations and that kind of thing. But there would be a shift to department level focus on hiring, discipline, firing, writing employees up such that there's more control at the department level and with department heads in managing their workforce. And so that was sort of what we came out with as a solid recommendation. And the backdrop was a Senate bill that came up, but it excluded municipal charter entities from doing civil service reform at the state level. And so for us, it was just the right time to kind of look at civil service and how we can improve it for the city's workforce.
So in the existing construct of civil service, if you're a department head, you have to go to civil service, have a position approved, right?
If there's not an existing vacancy with the job description.
So let's talk about the project manager, because I think a lot of the listening audience is going to be shocked to hear that the head of the Sewage and Water Board couldn't go out and hire project management people if it was something that they wanted to do, you know, in a permanent way. Create a position internally without going to civil service, having them establish that position, evaluate the qualifications that would be posted for that position, and also evaluate the salary that would have to be paid in order to approve same, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, you got all this money coming in, you're falling behind, and you're going through this laborious process to get this done, because there's a lot of different opinions as to how this should work or otherwise. Is that accurately stated?
Sure. And to follow up on Peter's thoughts, in any kind of corporate entity in America, people feel like they recognize their needs to get a job done, they go and hire the person. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're in city government and you have all of these classified employees, and we're heavily classified employees in the city of New Orleans, you have to go to civil service, look at the schedule of the pay plan, whether there's a position that fits what you're looking for. And if not, you've got to create the position. But if you're creating the position, that also has to be approved through the process through Civil Service Commission. So it's not just hiring somebody based on your need. It's actually all of these approval steps, making sure they're in the pay plan and then the classifications. So, yeah, I think that for efficiency purposes, people, as a former city employee myself, I enjoyed having unclassified employees. Because it wasn't the same level of approval processes, et cetera, through the commission. It was more direct hiring in the way that you would traditionally think of in sort of corporate America.
And going back to Peter, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, is if you're hiring the right people in these management positions in the first place, how does the Civil Service Commission know better than you, if you have this expertise in this field, who's right, who's wrong, who fits, what the market is? I mean, do they actually go and study all of this before they are making these
decisions? Yeah, and I think you being a sheriff, you would know that the needs are different from one entity to the next.
Vastly different.
Police and fire versus Sewage and Water Board, which is an independent entity, versus your municipal bureaucracy type employees. And so we got to think about, if we were to create this system from scratch today, would it look like it does right now? Looking at each of those different entities, what is ideal for each of those different entities? So that's kind of a way to get about the business of really thinking about how this should be, rather than just saying, well, it's always been there, so, and it hasn't always been there. It's been there, you know, for 60, 70 years, but it was meant to solve a problem that existed back then. There are certain areas where we might be able to argue, hey, is the cure worse than the disease? Are there areas where, because the managers don't have enough flexibility, because and therefore don't have the accountability, are we actually worse off than we would have been without these protections? I would say, no, we're not. That's not where we are right now. But there are areas where we do have to explore. Hey, are there areas where maybe the cure is worse than disease, and therefore, how do we address those?
Newell, I might add that just going back. Civil service was put in place because you had crony politicians that you didn't support them. You got fired with the new administration. As you pointed out earlier, that's not what you're facing today. The real issue is that, as I see it, is that civil service has become the human resource department for city government. That means, who do you hire? Who do you terminate? Who do you promote? What salary do you pay? And if you want to hold your department heads accountable, they've got to have a direct relationship with who you hire, who you fire, who you promote, and what salary you pay. Civil service, I think they've got some good people in the civil service, but they're underfunded for a role that they really shouldn't have. We decided early on that eliminating civil service from the whole picture would be politically not palatable, nor would it make sense, because you can get shenanigans. And if you do, then you ought to be able to appeal to civil service if you don't like the decision. But a couple of things have to happen. One would be, you need to train department heads and the CAO, if they're not already trained, how to make appropriate records, to have a – if they make a decision about an employee, is it backed up documentally? And then you need to make sure if civil service is going to have ultimate authority on unwinding a decision that was made, that their rules are not so stringent that you can't effectively maintain a good workforce. We're thinking that the civil service for the most part, determining what ought to be paid, and the Sewage and Water Board struggles being able to get people with enough talent competing with the private industry, pay them enough to do the work that needs to be done. We're thinking that the civil service, at least with all city departments, ought to be lodged with the CAO. And that's where salaries would be analyzed so that you can get a competitive salary. And then each department head would have a representative there so they could work directly with the civil service office. And then if you were dissatisfied as an employee, then you could appeal to the civil service. So that's what we mean by a hybrid approach.
Mm-hmm. Sharonda, I think part of it, as I was reading through the material, there seemed to highlight in the hybrid approach civil service maybe being more heavily involved in the review of disciplinary action taken with employees.
That's correct. And to some extent, there is an HR function already in the CAO's office. And as we are doing the work to analyze these recommendations, we are also, of course, engaging with stakeholders, and one of them being the Civil Service Department. And in those discussions, it sort of came out that there is an HR function in the CAO's office, but there needs to be some additional training to kind of implement the things that we're talking about here for those HR employees that are in that office. Even maybe getting a loaned employee from maybe a major corporation that can go in and assist on processes and functions. And that's just been something that's been going on for a long time, even when I was a city employee, that people just aren't trained on proper documentation when they're disciplining, which always presents a problem when the Civil Service Commission is going to review the discipline. And that's pretty much with any kind of corporate entity. If you're terminating somebody, you should have the documentation in place. So there are some training needs to kind of bolster the functions that are already existing to make the hybrid model work the way that we're suggesting.
And I think the key is, how do you get the hiring authority to the point where it's quicker, it's more flexible, less process driven? And again, I would say with that comes more accountability on the hiring managers and also the people they're hiring.
So I've never experienced this because we were not civil service. When I was sheriff, you know, my at one time over 1,700 employees were all at-will employees. I wasn't even mandated by workman's comp. They had to sue me in tort. We adopted an internal work comp scheme because I just didn't think it was fair for them to have to sue me in my professional and personal capacity, you know, if they were injured while at work. So we set up an internal work comp scheme. But, you know, it was interesting to me. I followed a lot of civil service cases with law enforcement in the city of New Orleans, and they reinstated people that in my wildest dreams there wouldn't be an agency in the country that would reinstate these people because the egregious nature of the offense – and whether or not there was a documentation of it or not, I mean, they would walk in and not even, they would admit to what they did and still get reinstated, which I don't understand how that ultimately worked. But my question is simply this. Has this thing grown to its own bureaucracy now? Because from the outside looking in, that's what it looks and feels like to me.
I would say it's definitely considered to be independent from the city, for sure. And they operate in very much in that way. And to your point, and this is again to the training point, a lot of those reinstatements are based on things that are not about the substance of the alleged violation or misconduct. A lot of issues relate to procedural incorrect behavior or things that weren't I's dotted, T's crossed from a procedural standpoint, which also is not necessarily a good thing in terms of keeping our workforce competent, et cetera.
No, not when the balance is the public's trust.
Correct.
I mean, the public, you know, they're scratching their heads wondering, what? You know, and they all look to their own personal lives and say, if I did that at my company, it wouldn't take them 2 minutes to show me the door.
Absolutely.
Duell, this will be a delicate political issue. If many employees are afraid that a new system could cost them their job.
What it's going to cost them is accountability. If you don't like accountability and you're a caretaker employee and you're just doing the bare minimum and you're not out there doing what needs to be done. I used to tell my folks all the time, I can't manage 70% players.
Well, you make a great point.
I need 100%. You got to be 100% in. If you're not 100% player, you owe it to yourself to leave and go somewhere else because you're never going to be happy at 70%. You know, so go and I'll get another player in because everyone is dispensable. Everyone's expendable, including myself as the sheriff. I said, you know, I have to perform because I have to prove to the public, and these elected leaders have to prove to the public that they're doing the right thing in an effective and efficient way. They can't do it with 70% players. It can't be done.
my only point is getting this passed
and
approved will require that we deal very sensitively with the civil service, with the unions. We'll all have concerns here, and we come up with a program that gives the employees confidence. If they give 100%, they're safe.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, the reality is the case law supports civil service employees, and they say that theirs are property right in their employment. And the whole idea of civil service is to give them the due process protections if they are going to be terminated or disciplined. But again, I think that there is room for department heads to get the level of training to ensure that they're holding people accountable, even aside from civil service processes.
So say that again, because most people don't realize that there's case law that supports under the civil service system that there's a property right to their employment. And it doesn't really take into consideration totally performance.
Not necessarily, which is why the documentation to allow the commission to review someone's work performance is so critically important. And if there's nothing there to support it, it makes it a difficult decision for them.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, there's no shortage of HR professionals that you can hire as consultants. I did it, you know, because you want to look at salary surveys. You want to look at any number of different things, performance matrix. How do you do, when you're assessing employees' performance or otherwise, there's everybody's got a form. It's just a question of pulling the trigger and adopting one and moving forward and executing on it, and make sure that you're not your top level supervisors. They're not the ones that make this work. It's, you know this, Sharonda, mm-hmm. It's the mid-level supervisor. You know, those are the ones that need to be trained, because those are the ones that are doing the documentation and passing it upward to someone above them that are going to ultimately make that decision one way or another based hopefully on the record they have in front of them.
And to that point, we've sort of talked about a recommendation of requiring anyone who's looking for a promotion to a supervisor level that they be required to have some level of training through the city's training module program that they already have in place before they are allowed to become supervisors, just for that purpose.
Everybody wants to be a supervisor. This is my experience. Not a whole lot of people want to supervise. and I'll tell you this anecdotal story. People would come into my office, got a problem. Yeah, what is it? Bing, bing, bing. Okay. What's your solution? Got the deer in the headlight look. Well, wait a minute. I don't need you if you don't have – you got to have a solution. Come back tomorrow morning with a solution, and we'll talk about this again, because you wanted to supervise. That's part of supervising. You need to provide a solution. I know you don't want to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. But unfortunately, it requires you to be the bad guy sometimes. And, you know, if you want me to be the bad guy, I can do it, but then I don't need you. that's the sad reality. And the human nature of the problem is that everyone wants to supervise, but they don't want to make those tough calls. And, somebody has to be there to compel them to do so, or otherwise the whole thing gets all mucked up. And maybe that's what's going on in civil service with some of these hearings. It's all mucked up before they get into that hearing, you know. All right, they're yelling at me in the booth. We got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Welcome back, folks, for our next segment with the New Orleans City Services Coalition. And we're going to be talking with Press Kabakoff, again, project director, David Marcello, organizer of Tree Canopy NOLA, executive director of the Public Law Center at Tulane Law School, and Scott Howard, president of Parks for All. He's also part of an organization called SOL, which is a tree planting group. And he's a longtime banker here in the city of New Orleans. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. So, Press, why don't we start off with you, and you can, no pun intended, but lay the landscape.
Well, you know, we have five basic services, and one of them is sanitation, trash, and recycling, the major component of that. And fortunately, the new administration has got lots to worry about, but trash pickup is not one. They had a real problem a few years ago. They were selecting the low-cost bidder and requiring two pickups a week, and the low-cost bidder just could not do the job. And complaints were probably 1,500 a year. They then decided to go, I think, very wisely into requests for proposals where cost was a component, but the ability to execute was a good part of that. And they decided to go once a week, and complaints have been reduced from almost 1,500 in half. And they have cameras on those garbage trucks, and so they can determine that of those half complaints, let's say 750 complaints, 85% are not valid because they anticipated they missed the it didn't put out the trash, or they complained before the trash truck got there. The cameras show that. So we really have a system, unfortunately, that's underfunded. They've been getting $24 for trash pickup and recycling, and that figure was set in 2011. And I imagine that costs have jumped twice since then. And so they're under-budgeted. But the real issue in terms of cleanliness of the city is that we've got 3,000 dump sites, lots of tires, lots of issues. And they've got 18 folks that can drive there in the trucks to get it picked up. And that's about half of what they need. And so it takes 5 to 6 months to address a dump site. And the goal is to get it done in a month. That, frankly, will just cost more money. You'll need more drivers and more laborers. The other thing that you'll need is enforcement. Very difficult to enforce. The cameras are not everywhere, so you don't know who's dumping. But in New Orleans East, our police, we were reporting none of this, have prosecuted, I think, 12 dumpers. that sends out a threat. I know in Jefferson, in St. Tammany Parish, you get a 2-year jail sentence, and that will certainly send a message. So we have to build the enforcement component of this. Recycling, they've got a $5 million grant to double the amount of recycling. They're only, even though we're paying the providers a recycling fee, they're only doing half of the city. And there's a $5 million grant to cover everyone. That's actually coming up to the council on Thursday when the argument will be made, do we want the opt-in or opt-out system? I think the providers are concerned that they won't be able to meet those goals and have lobbied the council to discourage moving forward on that program. But we do have a $5 million grant, and so we'll see how that plays out on Thursday.
Yeah, sanitation, I think, is experiencing a $35 million deficit this year, and they've had a deficit that they've experienced over the last 3 to 4 years in the operations of that, and it hadn't changed. It's been growing exponentially every year, which is quite the challenge. David, I know we wanted to talk about part of this of trash pickup and clean public spaces is right. The maintenance and the handling of the trees and tree canopy in the city.
Well, press has mentioned two items that I'll follow up on, one illegal dumping and another one cameras. We did a report about best practices from around the country, and we found in Dallas that they have used predictive data to identify hotspots for illegal dumping. So instead of worrying about cleaning them up, let's try to get ahead of the game and keep them from becoming such a nightmare. In Dallas, they install cameras to both deter people from dumping and also to get video evidence they can use to prosecute the violators. The second item is from San Rafael, California, a best practice. They've got a mini grants program that they use as incentives to get businesses and property owners to collaborate on installing nighttime lighting, which deters dumping, cameras, which again can be used to prove it if it happens, and barriers to keep people from getting to the site. This is, you know, 20 pages in this 176-page report. It's all available on the website, cityservicescoalition.org. People who, like myself, enjoy policy may want to go there and read it. But I'm here today to talk primarily about the policy affecting trees, which have been under assault in New Orleans for too many years. I mean, we all expected a big hit after Katrina, and in fact, we sustained one, about a 30% decline in the number of trees. But the troublesome thing is that it's continued since then. We've still lost another 20% of our tree canopy over the last 15 years. We're at 18.5% tree coverage, which puts us about on a par with Houston. We're running way behind Atlanta, which has 2.5 more times coverage than we do. Last year, the Louisiana Landmarks put the tree canopy on its 9 most endangered sites. So what can we do to kind of address this problem? Well, you want to expand the tree canopy, the first thing you might think about doing is stopping the hemorrhage. I mean, let's keep what we've got. And I'm, as you are, by training a lawyer. And so I think in terms of what can we do to discourage the assault on trees, one thing that comes readily to mind is advance notice. You know, none of this work gets done, theoretically, none of it gets done without a permit issuing from Parks and Parkways. Those are public documents. That's public information that we ought not to have to labor mightily to get access to. In fact, we think the department ought to go even further. It ought to notify neighborhood associations when they're coming to do substantial work on major trees. So transparency would be a big step forward. Another thing that strikes us as sensible is coordination. You know, people in New Orleans don't give city government a lot of high points on coordinating activity. And we tried to get the idea into the city code that the departments that do major infrastructure work, the Department of Public Works, Sewerage and Water Board, ought to coordinate with Parks and Parkways and collaborate on trying to save trees. Ron Fauché's poll in December of 2024 asked people, when it comes to coordinating public works projects, how do you think the city is doing? Only 2% of voters said city departments are doing a good job of coordinating their efforts. So there's always room for coordination, and we think that ought to be directly embraced in the city code. Make the departments get together and collaborate on the protection of trees.
One of the things is maintenance, too, right? I mean, I go down General de Gaulle. My mom's in a nursing home, and I travel down de Gaulle. There's trees all in the neutral ground, but the undergrowth of the tree is all the way to the ground. There's nothing that can grow under it, and therefore there's a washout when it rains, and it's losing soil, and you can see the tree progressively getting into a state of distress.
Right.
And my mom's been there, I don't know, about 7 years now. I've actually watched healthy trees that are now dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over that period of time, because you're not pruning the tree appropriately, you're not maintaining the tree. It's a sad commentary to kind of see it. And then, you know, all the garbage that collects under there because you have branches hanging on the ground and, you know, and undergrowth of the tree that's not being properly maintained. Scott Howard, president of Parks for All, and you're part of a tree planting group. They have a lot of people that are willing to step up and provide the sustenance and the trees and plant the trees and everything else, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The tree planting effort is really the counterpart to avoiding taking the trees down, right?
Mm-hmm.
As David mentioned, we have a very low tree canopy relative to a lot of cities, and it presents an opportunity to us to improve the health and well-being of all of our citizens. There's a huge disparity among the different neighborhoods as to who has trees and who doesn't. And what SOLE, the organization that I'm involved with, is focused on is improving the tree canopy for all of our citizens, and so that everybody benefits from the quality of life issues that we all associate with trees.
So I have to imagine, would the East be where one of the biggest challenges lies?
Well, it's certainly one of the areas. The Lower Nine, St. Bernard, Holly Grove, Gentilly Woods, Little Woods. What SOLE tries to do is go into identify a neighborhood which is under canopied. If those neighborhoods that I just mentioned are all under 10% compared with the average of 18-19%. And so the focus is on going in and planning in a very concentrated way so that as the project is completed, the whole area benefits from a reforestation. And so it's, you know, rather than you know, spot plant, it's high coverage planting of these underserved areas, and certainly New Orleans East would be among them.
Let me add, Dual, that this is a health issue.
Yeah, I was going to go.
You've all heard about heat islands, mm-hmm. and that's what we have. And I think if you take all the different factors that make a city struggle with warming, I think New Orleans is right at the top because of the heat that we have and the humidity. And without a tree canopy, it's just unhealthy for us and dangerous.
Well, it's aesthetically pleasing. It creates balance in the environment, right?
Well, the thing
is, it absorbs CO2.
The list
goes on and on.
The list goes on and on. And the thing that has always been so frustrating to me is that whenever you start talking about parks and trees and recreation too, the reaction is, well, we can't really – that's very important, but we've got to worry about police, we've got to worry about streets, we've got to worry about – all of which is true. But when you think about it, trees are the only thing that we do that touches everything. Yeah, I mean, it, just what you were saying, Newell, it touches health, it touches infrastructure, water management, economic development, everything.
I'm going to have to get to a break. Thank you. Scott Howard, David Marcello, Press Kabakoff. As you can tell, these folks have taken the time to think about everything. And that's you need to go read the report if you really want to learn about some of the challenges here. They're very focused in what they've provided. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
You know, I can't believe there's not going to be an LSU-Alabama game every year.
Yeah.
I mean, where did they get the ego to like to stop that tradition? All right. Disney is bringing back Jimmy Kimmel Live, but not every station's going to show it. Also, new warning about Tylenol. And conjoined twins are married, but one of the girls thinks the guy's like a brother. It's going to be weird, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be weird.
Scoot's up next. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show. See you again in the morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers.
Oh!
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.